So we're going to do it by looking at what the Bible tells us and then how that will apply to us. So the first point I want to look at is that Jesus met them where they were. I can remember a book that someone who did part of my training as a youth worker, he wrote a book about youth work, about detached youth work, where you go out to meet young people, and he gave it the title, Meet Them Where They Are, or Meet Them Where They're At, I think it might have been. And the whole idea behind that was saying, you don't expect young people to come to you and be the young people that you want them to be, but you're actually going out, meeting them as the people that they are, and the situation that they're in, and going from there. And so, with this first point about Jesus meeting them where they were, Jesus goes to the area of Galilee and he starts preaching. And he doesn't think, okay, I'm going to preach, everyone's going to come, and I'm going to pick some people to come and follow me. Because yes, he does preach, and people are struck by the preaching that goes on, but he then goes down to the Sea of Galilee, right to where the first four disciples who were called were working. They didn't respond to the new preacher who was in town. They responded to the man who came down and said to them, come, follow me. So what do we take from this? Well, first of all, we should ask the question, are you following Jesus? Have you accepted his invitation to follow him? If you're listening to me speak, either in person, live online or watching back at a later point, I'd suggest you've at least partly responded to the invitation, but have you fully accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him and do what he calls all his followers to do? Would you like to? The invitation is open to anyone who believes. Will you accept Jesus' invitation today? What about if you have accepted the invitation, if you are following Jesus, where are you going to share Jesus' invitation? Are you sharing his invite in person to people? I know, given the recent restrictions we've had, that it's not always been possible to do that, but maybe you felt that rather than doing an in-person invite, you've done it by other ways. Maybe you've done it digitally. Have you shared things on social media? Maybe thought about sharing some of the videos that get put up on the St. Thomas Facebook page? Have you phoned friends? Had Zoom chats with family and so on? Have you found opportunities there to be able to share with those who are not following? And of course, now that things have opened up a bit, where are you looking to invite those to come and follow Jesus? Where in your life are you looking to offer out that invitation that Jesus gives? We don't just wait for people to come to us. Not that people don't just turn up to church. They do. Some people, they come looking for their nearest church because they want to respond to something. But that's not the way that everyone comes. Indeed, I would say that's probably a very small minority of people who come to church looking. We need to remember to meet people where they are and invite them personally. So that's our first point. Then the second point I've got is that when we look at who Jesus invited, he invited people who you would not expect to be invited. In our passage, we see that Jesus invited four fishermen. I mentioned this to our Fast Club a few Fridays ago and asked them, is this the sort of person you'd expect to be invited to come along? No, they said. Who on earth wants a fisherman to be able to tell someone about God? And then later on in the Gospels, we see he also invites a tax collector, and he also invites a political rebel, known as a zealot at the time. No religious scholars, as far as we're aware, and not all who would be welcomed in polite society. So the question then becomes for us, who are we inviting? Are we looking to invite those who are like us? Those who we think are a good fit? Or those who we think are respectable? Those who think and say all the right things? I'm reminded of an experience I had at a previous church where we were hearing about the new curate who would be joining, and a member of the church was having a conversation with someone about them. They'd met the new curate and family, and their comment was, "Oh yes, they really are sort of people." And I happened to say, I didn't do anything in person at the time. At the time, I was a teenager who wasn't too sure of himself of standing up for this kind of thing. But inside, I'm like, "No, that's not what it's about at all. We don't want the right sort of people from our perspective. We want the right sort of people from God's perspective." Jesus invited the smelly. Anyone ever met someone who's been on a fishing boat for goodness knows how many days? I'm sure if Bruce and Sue were here, you'd be able to speak to them about some of the stuff to do with their supporting mission to those at sea. And the smell that you would get from someone who's just been around fish for so long must be overpowering. Jesus invited the rejected. Matthew, the tax collector, was someone who had decided that rather than being on the side of his people, the Jews, he would go on the side of the Romans and take money from the Jews to give to the Romans. He was seen as a traitor. He was rejected by society. Jesus invited the troublemakers, the zealot. Zealots were people who would be looking to rise up against the Romans, to try and cause trouble, maybe start fights, maybe try and kill Roman soldiers to get them out of Israel. Now, I should point out there's nothing wrong with inviting the so-called nice people, the people that aren't rejected by society, because Jesus calls everyone. But we need to remember, when Jesus was calling his disciples, the people he went to were not the nice people. So, if you're someone who isn't following Jesus, maybe you think that you fit into one of the negative categories, and that's why you're not accepting Jesus' invitation just yet. Because you feel that you're not worthy of doing so. You feel like you're not going to be accepted in. If that's what you think, trust me, you haven't got anything on the 12 that Jesus invited. Go through the Gospels. See the things that they did. See the time that two dead people appear next to Jesus and Peter says, "Shall I build them tents?" Why do dead people need tents? You don't have to be the most intelligent. You don't have to be the most loyal to be invited. In the Easter story, we find out they all ran away because they were afraid. Doesn't matter who you are. The invitation is there. You don't have to be worthy, because that's not what the message is about. Jesus makes us worthy. So the invitation is there, Jesus welcoming everyone. All you have to do is believe in him. So what does Jesus finally do? He's met them where they are. He's met the people who are not what we might expect. Well, then he shows them what to do rather than telling them. Show, don't tell. In verse 21, Jesus goes to a synagogue and he teaches. So he shows them the importance of the scriptures and understanding them. In verse 25, he casts out an evil spirit, showing them the spiritual battle that we'll have to fight. Verses 31 to 34, he heals the sick. First, Peter's mother-in-law, and then a whole crowd that gathers outside. Verse 35, Jesus shows them the importance of prayer, with the fact that right at the start of the day, he goes out and prays in a solitary place. And then in verse 38, Jesus shows them that it's an ongoing journey with him, as you're never going to stop after the first place you go, but rather you keep on going from one place to the next. Now, with the group that I had gathered at the start, we were already doing the kind of carrying on going. But can you imagine how you might have responded if suddenly I'd said, right, we're going to go and find the first person who's possessed by a demon. First person with an evil spirit, we're going to go and cast them out. Any of you reckon you might have decided, yeah, maybe I'm not going to follow you anymore? Then I say, okay, next we're going to go and find the sick. We're going to heal them. Would you have been confident enough to carry on following me? This is what Jesus did. He showed them what he was calling them to do. Jesus showed them by having them go with him and join in. And yes, they did join in. The story of the feeding of the 5,000, he gets the disciples to gather up as much food as they can. And then Jesus does the rest. He sends out the 12 to go and share the good news about him. Later, he sends out the 72, more people who are following Jesus. He sends them out to join in. So he sends them out to join in, rather than saying, okay, right, let's book a room. I've got the PowerPoint slides. We're just going to sit back. We're going to watch. And this is what I'm going to tell you how it's all done. He doesn't do that. He doesn't sit down and tell them stuff and expect them to take it all in. And that's it. They actually join in with what he's doing. So how do we share our faith? Talking about it is important. After all, that is the first thing that Jesus did. He preached from the scriptures. And it's important for us because we need to be rooted in the Bible. Rooted in what it says, what it tells us to do, what it tells us about God. And we need to know about it also because we need to help those that we're inviting, so that if they've got any questions, if they're wanting to understand, we're able to explain it to them. But are we looking as well to bring people alongside us as we live out our faith? Just a few examples from previous things that I've done. These are all examples from my previous job. We got young people from the church, some of whom would have been Christians for a while, some of whom maybe not Christians at all, maybe they've just come along with friends, but we invited them all to help out with a summer holiday club that we did. And as part of that, we would have Bible slots and things like that. And they would be actively involved in some soft evangelism, and they'd be alongside us on this journey doing what God called us. There was one time I took a young person to an apologetics conference, and I was able to chat with him before about some of the things he was expecting to happen, some of the things that he had through the day we'd be chatting about, and then at the end as we were going back, I'd be speaking to him saying, well, how was that? Learning about how his faith had developed through that. And we also ran some football sessions on Saturday mornings, and twice a year we would have what we called soccer schools, more for the alliteration than for the fact that we had anything caring about the fact that it's an American name. It's football, not soccer. But anyway, the soccer schools were a time where we had a Christian organisation called Ambassadors Football come in, and they would share the gospel as well as doing lots of football coaching. And so what we had for years, we would have young people coming, and as they got older, those that got to the point where they were too old to be involved in the sessions, we would invite them to be coaches, first of all as volunteers, and then once they became old enough, we would then pay them for the time that they were putting in. And after doing things on a Saturday morning, they would then also commit to helping out at the soccer schools. And there they would hear the message being preached to the children that were taking part in the soccer schools. We invited people to be a part, and they said yes. So maybe think about how do you live out your faith in practical ways? Could you invite new believers or non-Christians to join in with you? If you aren't following yet, but you want to kind of learn on the job, as it were, is there a Christian friend that you could ask to walk alongside? Find out how they live out their faith practically by seeing them do it. So there we have it. The three ways in which we see Jesus in this passage saying, come follow me. He meets the disciples where they are. Before they were disciples, he goes and finds them and personally invites them. They weren't the people that would necessarily be expected. It's not the right fit kind of person we're looking for. We're looking for the person that God is calling. And that call is open to everyone. And then he showed them, not just telling them, he showed them about his ministry and what they would be called to do. Got them involved practically. I believe we can say for certain that those three points are a challenge to all of us for how we might share our faith in the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your call to follow you. The call that Jesus gave to the disciples, that he then gave for them to go out and give the invitations on his behalf to the whole world. And that we are a part of that ongoing call if we respond and follow. Heavenly Father, we pray for situations that we might have in our lives where we're able to share you, to share your invitation. And particularly, Lord, we think of how we're able to do so in ways which are relevant to those we're inviting. And also, Lord, that we remember that your call is for everyone, not just for those that we think are the right people to join us. That your invitation goes to all who would respond yes and believe. Amen.